This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 163 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by the one and only West Coaster, Marcus Couch. And Marcus, did you miss me last week?
I did. I missed having a show. It would bum me out. I had my Wednesday night free. So
did you miss having a show, or did you miss me?
Well, I missed having a show.
Okay. Anyways, it's great to be back. I really enjoyed that staycation. Every now and then, you just have to take a break and just step away for a while. And although it was hard, it was sorely needed, and I very much enjoyed it. But now it's time to get back in the swing of things with the WordPress stuff. Let's start out with the release of BuddyPress 2.1 Patsy. That was released earlier, back on September 18th, actually. And Patsy is a coal oven pizzeria in East Harlem, New York City. So for those who don't know, WordPress major releases are named after jazz musicians. Major releases of BuddyPress are named after famous pizzeria joints across the country. So that's pretty cool. And I guess Patsy's is famous for its traditional New York-style thin crust pizza and claims to have originated the practice of selling pizza by the slice. And I bet you that is highly debatable for those in the know.
Well, I'm from Chicago originally, so
that there you go.
Stuff isn't going to do it for me. But yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Do you think the guys in the pizza shop actually know and or care?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I'll have to, next time I'm in New York City, like for WordCamp New York City or WordCamp New York, and I somehow find my way in the East Harlem, I'll have to be sure to look them up and go see if they have any WordPress swag in there or something. You know, it would be kind of cool. Or BuddyPress, I should say BuddyPress. But anyways.
A pizza in the shape of the BuddyPress logo.
Yeah, possibly. So 2.1 has the new mentions interface. Now, this is pretty cool. This is something I've used on other discussion community type software. Basically what you do is when you do the at symbol and you start typing the username of somebody, there's a little sort of like a pop-up window with suggestions of usernames that match the letters you've already typed in. So they call that the new mentions interface. Really neat idea. I'm glad they finally added that. It seems to make sense to me. So it's pretty cool. There's also a new URL profile field type, automatic translation fetching, so that's pretty neat, and a couple of other highlights, such as you could set better passwords with the password strength meter on the registration and user settings pages. There is the buddy bar has formally been deprecated, and of course, avatar has been renamed to profile photo, which I think that makes sense. I think a lot more people probably understand just at a glimpse what profile photo is versus avatar, especially since it's a movie now called Avatar. And there's better compatibility with themes that load their template content in advanced ways, like Stargazer. Hey, that's the theme we use on the Tavern. And other than that, there's an entire list of improvements that have gone on under the hood. So if you use BuddyPress 2.1 and you haven't upgraded yet, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, I've noticed it's faster. Now. It's faster, too. Yeah. It seemed like it to me. I have a BuddyPress site that's actually kind of a mutant because it's a private BuddyPress that's hidden from public view. It's an inter-corporate type of a thing. And it seemed to be a lot faster, not just from the back end of administration. I mean, and a little bit of speed came from 4.0 as well. But it did seem like it handled processes a little bit quicker than previously.
And I'm looking at the changelog, and it does say continued performance enhancements, particularly on the members and groups directories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and I wonder if that's where you noticed the change. And, of course, I think BuddyPress 2.0 had some huge improvements in terms of speed and performance. So they're just piling on top of that. It's just getting better and better.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't wait to dive into it. I've got a project coming up where I'm going to actually have 15 different multi-sites that are all going to have their own private subscription-based Buddy Press groups in them, so that's going to be a challenge. It'll be fun.
Sounds like you got your work cut out for you.
I do.
So, on the next story we want to talk about is very important. Listen up. If you're an iThemes customer, and that means you're paying for a plugin or a service that they offer, you're going to want to change your password as soon as possible. iThemes on September 23rd suffered a security breach where, after noticing some suspicious activity on their server, they discovered a significant attack had occurred on their membership database. And in an overabundance amount of caution, what they've done is they've reset all other customers' passwords. So that's just as a move of precaution. So in order to access your account, you're going to have to go through the whole reset your password process in order to log back in. But the types of information that the attackers could get access to include your username, your password, email address, first and last name if you set it, the IP address, the names of products you purchased, coupon codes you might have used, access times, and payment receipt information, but no other payment info. And what's very important here to recognize is that they use a third-party payment processor, which means that all of the payments and the information regarding that is handled off-site. So none of that is at risk of being compromised. So what they're doing is they're working. They've partnered with the security service Securi, and they're going to work with them to do an audit on their information technology stack, their servers, their product and their code base, and, of course, their security incident response and direction procedures. And although no company wants to go through something like this, it's how you respond. It's how you inform your customers and how soon that really makes the difference between, you know, somebody, just a mob being upset with you and angry versus the praise and customers being understanding about the situation and working with you instead of being really upset with you. And I think the way that iThemes has handled this was definitely in the professional realm, and I've seen a lot of their customers actually thanking them for telling them and being upfront about it as soon as possible. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, I received that email myself and went in and changed my password, from their prompt, and realized I don't have any current subscriptions to any of their products. But as somebody who is a former purchaser of their products, my data is still out there and still hackable, I guess. So it's not only what you currently subscribe to, but what you've always paid for, I guess, online. So it's important to, I guess, keep your own personal data saved and always make sure that you use variable passwords throughout.
Right. It's just common practice. Nobody should be using the same password on multiple sites. Yet people do because it's something, it's easily rememberable. I also want to make the point that this is not tied to products. This is not tied to sync. This is not tied to your backups or not at risk. This is just your customer information, your login data for iThemes.com if you're a paying customer. That's it. This is all that's at risk here. So there's a lot of confusion about that. And we're going to find out here within the next few days, I think, or possibly after WordCamp Europe, if they're forthright with this information, if the passwords and the other information was stored in plain text. That's a big no-no. We've already seen several companies that have had databases compromised, and what do you know? The information was stored in plain text. So it's not like the hackers have to sweat or anything to get the information. So obviously I think they've learned their lesson here. They're going to do what they can to tighten up the ship, and hopefully this doesn't happen again to them or other WordPress companies.
That's right.
So, Marcus, you added this story here. We'll get to this, and then we'll get on with our special guest tonight. And a little something called Netropolitan. What is this?
Well, this is something that someone developed. It made the rounds in the media. It is a private-run Facebook-style social network, and I believe it costs $10,000 to join. The media dubbed it as Facebook for the Rich. And as it turns out, as Sarah reported on the Tavern earlier this week, it's actually a WordPress site with BuddyPress installed and one particular theme that costs $60.
from guess where?
Dean Forrest.
Hey.
I've been wanting to do that.
And the thing about it is, as Sarah reported, the gentleman explained that he had the idea in sight in development for the last 4 years and was in a hard development phase for the last two. Though it's been revealed that in the last 2 years, really the only thing he did was swap the logo off of a stock theme for his theme. So it just goes to show you that WordPress is boundless as far as how ideas go. Yeah, how ideas go and what you can expand, and that there's people out there that'll sign up for just about anything.
So get this. $9,000 is the fee to join, and $3,000 a year to continue membership. And ever since this was reported, I've been trying to access the site, and I get a 501 Cloudflare error. I cannot access their website. When it comes up, it immediately goes down. So I don't know. If anyone is paying $9,000 to join this site, I get to laugh at you. Hold on. Let's see. Where is it? Because they have been ripped off, and you just threw your money away. If you're going to give $9,000 to that website, hey, there's send it over to me. I can make it go further. That's all I got to say. But as you said, WordPress, open source technologies, it doesn't matter how crazy or wacky your idea. This is, these open source technologies like WordPress allow people to just try it out, just purchase a couple themes here, do a couple things here, launch it on a web host and see what happens. Unfortunately, in this case, we might not ever get to see what happens because the site may never come back online. So,
darn. I had 9,000 just to put down, too. Darn.
Oh, come on. Yeah, right.
I guess I'll have to spend it at our party at WordCamp San Francisco.
Well, that would be a very good place. You could take me out to dinner.
I'll do it.
It might cost you over nine grand, but hey, we'll get a good deal out of it. So that wraps up the news for this week. Lily, what do you say we bring in our special guest here? Her name is Andrea Middleton. She resides in Portland, Oregon, and manages WordCamp Central. She's also a dot organizer at Automattic. We're going to find out what that is here in a second. Andrea, thank you very much for being on the show. It's your first time.
Well, thanks for inviting me, you guys. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. So I know that Automattic just recently had their annual company meetup in Utah. Yes. Tell us a little bit about that, and how was that experience like for you?
The Grand Meetup is an incredibly fun but very intense experience. I think many people may know that Automattic is a completely distributed company, which means that all 250 plus of us work from our homes or, not from an office, essentially, all over the world. And once a year, the company values our face-to-face time enough that the company flies everyone in the company over to one location. This year it was in Park City, Utah, to spend a week talking, meeting, dining, working together, and just really either refreshing or creating really strong relationships that hopefully will see us through the whole next year and help us solve awesome problems together as we like to do every day.
And something that you said, and I want you to say it again, because when we see, I follow several Automattic employees on Twitter, and I get to see pictures of, check it out, man, we're on the ski lift, look at these views, look at all this beer in the fridge, we're all having a good time, and I think it's very easy to see that and say, oh my gosh, just one big party at Automattic every year. Yet I want you to say what you just said again about how intense it is. What actually happens there during the week?
Well, let's put it this way. Basically, you get started around 7 or 8 in the morning. Breakfast starts at 8. A lot of people do 7 o'clock or even earlier activities, getting out there and doing super healthy running and jumping things, if that's their style. And then generally, everyone is working or doing activities or whatever, hanging out until 1 or 2 in the morning, and that's for 7 straight days wow. or later. I'm an early, I don't like staying up late, so I always made sure I was in bed by 1 or 1:30, which is not my normal way of doing things. But generally, people are either working on a team project. In the last year or two, we started doing learn-ups so that if you wanted to learn how to code or something else, you could take a class at the Grand Meetup instead of doing a group project. And then this year, we actually allowed people to work on their normal job during the kind of that team project work time for those of us, myself included, for whom work does not stop just because Automattic is not actually working on projects together necessarily. I'm kind of outward facing, so it's always been a little bit rough for me to have to try to ignore the whole planet while I was, you know, hanging out with automaticians. But yes, it does. I mean, it does look super glamorous, and I won't lie. I mean, it's a great time. I mean, it really is a great time. But you know, a lot of us are pretty introverted and geeky, and I am not. You know, I'm not like in condition to be around other human beings for 14 hours a day for 7 days straight. Like, I'm around other human beings like maybe, you know, 6 hours a day, and that's my family, you know.
So yeah, I've actually talked to a few different Automattic employees, and they say that they get so scared when the big Automattic meetup comes up because they're going to be surrounded by a whole bunch of people they don't know, they've never seen before, mm-hmm. and they're just really shy, and they're supposed to get to know their coworkers, yet mm-hmm. it's very hard for them to step out of their shell, so they get scared every year for this meetup.
Well, do they have team building exercises and things that you go through in different groups?
Not where somebody's getting you together and saying, hey, everybody, now we're going to build a team.
Because so there's no dance-off or anything like
never,
that?
That's never really fun. I mean, ideally, the activities that we organize, like people going skydiving or people doing a photo walk or people going go-karting. Go-karting is a big tradition in Automattic Grand Meetups. Are team building, right? Because you're doing an activity mm-hmm. together and you're having an experience together, and then you have frameworks. We also now have assigned dinner and lunch tables where hopefully you sit, you know, twice a day for meals with people that you don't know very well, mm-hmm. But in smaller groups, so you can get kind of have that conversation. And then the team projects and the learn-ups are basically, you know, team building exercises too, because you're getting together with a whole bunch of people that you don't know very well, ideally that you've never worked with before, and you're either trying to build something on WordPress.com or a new tool for automaticians or fix something that's broken or learn something, and then everybody has to report, give like a 5-minute talk about what they did at the end of the week. And then there's the flash talks. Everybody in the company has to give a 4-minute presentation to the entire company about anything that they want to give a talk on. So,
what are some of the most outlandish ones that you've seen from that talk?
Oh golly, there's a lot of that. We specialize in outlandish. We make outlandish look normal.
I think that's one of the hidden gems of Automattic, is that there's so many smart people and so many different aspects, and WordPress.com involves so many different technologies and languages that if you want to learn something, you could just do this little course, this little class inside of Automattic. You don't have to go outside the company anywhere. I think that's one of the awesome perks of Automattic.
Yeah, it's very rare that we do very much training outside the company. To my knowledge, again, I'm pretty outward facing, so I don't know everything that happens all the time in Automattic. I hopefully know everything that happens all the time with WordCamps, but mm-hmm. but yeah, pretty much all of our training at this point is internal, which is kind of cool because yeah, we're big and we're super super smart, which is kind of exciting.
So before you became an automatician, mm-hmm. what was your day job?
I was a federal proposals manager for a general contractor in oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name, in Austin, basically, in a little town north of Austin. Why can't I think of the name right now? It's where Sarah Pressler lives, actually. I know she's there. Anyway, I lived in Austin for about 6 years, and I was doing proposal management and HR for construction companies while I was there.
So how did you end up getting interested in submitting your resume or going through the process at Automatic? How did you become aware of the job?
I was actually recruited by Jen Milo,
Okay.
who had been trying to offload WordCamps onto somebody for a while, because she, at the time, she was project managing core, still the lead designer for WordPress core, and then also handling all the WordCamps. And she and I had known each other for quite a long time. And she pinged me one night and said, hey, there's this job. Do you think you would like it? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, no, you'd be really good at it. And I'm like, well, try it. I don't love my job right now. It's good. I like to write. I like to, you know, manage, you know, the processes and to hit deadlines and stuff like that. And I like people and that kind of stuff. So maybe. And we tried it out and I liked it. And about 3.5 years later, here I am.
And I bet you those 3.5 years have flown by.
A bit, yes. They've been busy.
And so have you had any experience with WordPress, hearing about WordPress, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I had been a WordPress blogger since about 06.
Okay.
I had, before my construction proposal management jobs, I had been working as a wine distributor rep in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And so when I left that business and moved to Texas with my soon-to-be at that time husband, I decided I wanted to start a wine blog. And so and I told my friend Jen, and Jen and I have been friends for a long time, that I was going to start a blog. And she's like, oh, you have to do it in WordPress. And my husband said, oh, you definitely have to do it with WordPress. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. Whatever. But I had been using WordPress for a really long time. And so So I'd been part of the community as just a normal Joe blogger, you know, nothing fancy. And so getting to know the people who built WordPress was really, really exciting, and kind of really deeply understanding that notion of open source really makes me, open source is something I get really excited about. I have a dormant revolutionary hidden deep inside of me that gets really, really excited about the concept of freedom and open source and stuff like that. So
that's awesome. You know, Automatic has all these fancy, although not quite so fancy, but funny job titles. And yours is dot organizer at Automatic. What is a dot organizer?
I call them whimsical when I'm being very understanding. Yes, we do love our whimsical titles. So I'm on the dot org team at Automatic, which means I'm one of the people that Matt basically donates to the WordPress open source project. My whole job is to work on community organizing. And so because I'm on the .org team and I am essentially an organizer type person, he thought that .organizer was a great name and that the admin stuck. So that's my job title.
It's as simple as that. So
it's just that easy.
What are your, you manage WordCamp Central, and what are your day-to-day activities in regards to managing that website?
Well, when I say I manage WordCamp Central, what I usually am trying to say is I oversee the WordCamp program itself.
Okay.
And so 90% of my work is kind of centers around kind of birth to death of a WordCamp, right? So reviewing WordCamp applications, interviewing prospective organizers, orienting people about how to get started, reviewing preliminary budgets and approving those, and just all of the mentorship of WordCamp organizers that we do at WordCamp Central.
So, how much paperwork is involved with your job? Is there any actual paperwork?
Physical paper, as little as I possibly can make it. Filling out of forms and things, actually pretty ample, because all WordCamps in the U.S. and Canada, and then I would say maybe half the WordCamps internationally, so outside of, you know, the U.S. and Canada is what I mean by that, run the money through the WordPress Foundation, just because that's a good way to protect organizers from getting sued or audited by running the money through their own companies or personal bank accounts. And so what that means, if we're going to protect organizers from bad things happening to them legally and financially, the WordPress Foundation's name has to be on all that documentation. And so there's a fair amount of signing contracts and reviewing invoices and stuff like that. Luckily, Cami handles most of the invoice paying now. And my life is like 3 gazillion times better since she joined the company about a year ago. But yeah, I do a fair amount of, you know, collating of information and putting things in places. So
you review everything, even down to like catering invoices and things like
that? Well, yeah. I mean, we, you know, we have to have a very clear paper trail of everything. Yeah.
Are there crazy ones that happen internationally? Like, oh my God, they're eating that? Like, anything like that?
That, sometimes, yeah. It's gotten me a much better understanding of, like, what foods or kind of food and beverage related interludes are really important to different countries or cultures. Hmm. You know, like, if you're going to have a WordCamp in Europe or the UK, you absolutely have to have some kind of, like, afternoon tea break, especially, like, in southern Europe and in Britain. There will definitely be, like, or Great Britain, there will be like an hour long period of like chilling out, and that's after lunch. So it's like lunch and then there's after lunch, like chilling out with things. And yeah, it's been pretty interesting.
WordCamp Europe is taking place this weekend in Sofia, Bulgaria.
What's that?
Did you see a tea break in there in your schedule?
You know, Cami was handling all of those this year, and I have not. I don't even know. I'm embarrassed to say. I've been. It's sucky right now because I'm focusing a lot of my time on WordCamp San Francisco, which is not sucky. That's awesome, but it does tend to distance me a little bit from the day to day for people. Where's the tea break, you guys? There it is. Coffee break. 4:15.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Bingo.
Yeah, definitely a coffee break where everything stops and you have a, you know, so they have their regular hour and a half lunch and then they have their like half an hour chill out and think and talk and commune and all that stuff. So
by using the WordPress, going through the WordPress Foundation, which offers protections and things of that nature, within the past 4 or 5 years or as long as you've been involved with WordCamp Central, has there been any legal threats or anything that's gone as far as to, boy, we're glad, you know, people are glad we really have these protections from the WordPress Foundation?
Stuff happened before everybody started using the foundation, which is why we started asking people to do that. But thankfully, and I'm knocking wood right now, nothing has happened since would make me have to call our lawyers.
That's probably not fun.
But yeah, I mean, the reason that this whole thing came about of, you know, we need to have an entity that people can use as a legal and financial protection is because organizers did. There was a lawsuit related to a WordCamp once, and, you know, a very prominent WordCamp organizer did get audited by the IRS for running, you know, $15,000 through his business account that didn't seem to belong there. And, you know, people lost money and got their PayPal accounts frozen in the middle of ticket sales because PayPal was like, oh, this is unexpected activity, blah, blah, blah. And, you know what I mean? So there was a real, a lot of pain points around that. And we ended up, when it was kind of just people looked around and were like, well, we've got the foundation just sitting there. It's a nonprofit. It's just holding the trademarks. And because Matt and WordPress in general is both very optimistic and then very opportunistic, we took the opportunity to make use of the foundation as that way to keep organizers from having to ever, you know, hire a lawyer to protect themselves against a frivolous lawsuit or have to make up financial losses for their WordCamps out of their own pockets. It also has the benefit, which really makes me excited, of lowering the bar, the affluence bar, if you want to organize a WordCamp. So we've had students organize WordCamps. We've had people who don't have, you know, $20,000 sitting around a bank account where they have a slush, you know, an amount of money that they can just kind of keep around, and it doesn't matter if they get the sponsorship payments in right away and stuff like that, you know? So there's it makes it a little easier for people of all financial backgrounds to step up and help out with community organizing, and that's something that I'm really passionate about, is getting more diversity in our organizing community.
Well, that's something as a registrant of different WordCamps that, like, I didn't know that inside part as far as being the shield of the organizers. I thought it was more of, hey, we'd like to make sure that the content is on the up and up and things like that.
But well, so we also would like to make sure of that.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, primarily, we never want anyone to organize a WordCamp and be done with that and say, wow, that really damaged my life. You know, right. We want people to organize a WordCamp and think, wow, I would really like to do more stuff to give back to WordPress and help grow the WordPress community. And that, I mean, that is actually my job, is to both make WordCamps great for attendees. So make sure that I'm doing everything in my power to give all WordCamp attendees the optimal WordCamp experience, and then also to make it so organizers' lives are easier, as easy as I can make it, with still making WordCamps great for attendees. So there's a balance there, and that can be challenging, but I'm equally passionate about both.
Now, going back towards the cost and affluence of those organizing WordCamps, I wrote about this on WP Tavern. I did some research about the price of WordCamp tickets, and based on a few of the budget reports that a few of the WordCamp organizers have put out there, maybe in their in their form of transparency, I noticed that when you take a look at their expenses and you add them all up, and you look at total amount of expenses, you know, the average for one attendee, usually I've seen an average price of where the ticket should have been, without sponsorship help or anything else, the ticket should have been around between $80 and $100. And I've seen WordCamps where the cost, like, for example, WordCamp Ann Arbor, which I'm going to, which is one day, October 4th, it's coming up, $12. That's an insanely affordable price for one day's worth of learning all kinds of cool WordPress stuff. But a lot of these events are 2 days. You get a meal, and all for the cost of anywhere between $20 to $40, $40 being very expensive, actually, within the realm of WordCamp. So tell us sort of the importance that these different sponsors, including the pillar sponsors, have had on making these WordCamp events affordable.
So we've had the price ticket cap. And I don't usually refer to things as a rule, but this is definitely a rule, right? We've had the ticket price cap rule for over 3 years now, where we've asked everyone to keep their ticket price at or below $20 per person per day. And the reason behind that is that we want WordCamps to be as accessible as humanly possible, but still make sure that people show up if they register. So there's a balance there, right? Again, with the balance. So we don't want it to be too expensive for anyone to go. We want them to be available to anyone with any financial background. But at the same time, if you make events free, you'll get 5,000 people register and 50 show up.
Yeah,
so
there's no shortage of research that shows that.
Yeah, and that is not only difficult for organizers, but it's exceptionally wasteful because, I mean, you gotta plan to have enough food and shirts and stickers and space for the people that are gonna show, right? So there, you know, we want to charge just enough that it isn't a barrier to entry, but that if you're a little hungover on Saturday morning, you'll still go, you know, because you put your sawbones in there, you put your $20 in there, and you need to get that money's worth. Ideally, people care about that. So
gotta get that catered meal.
Right, you know, well, I've got a lunch and a t-shirt coming to me. If I don't show up, I'll never get it, right? So hopefully people, that is motivating to people, and we have better attendance for that reason. And we don't have to, you know, throw away baskets and baskets of food every time there's a WordCamp. which hopefully people don't do. Hopefully they call their local homeless shelter and they find somewhere to donate it. But anyway, WordCamps are a ridiculous, incredible value. We could not make WordCamps without sponsors. Basically, the ticket cost should cover essentially lunch and a t-shirt. And everything else, the venue cost, the cost of signage and badges and, you know, AV rental if that's necessary, and maybe if we are spending money on a party or something, yada, yada, all of that comes from sponsors. Sponsors are incredibly valuable. WordCamp is and hopefully always will be the best deal in town, and I feel really, really good about that. I feel, rather than people fearing that WordCamps are devalued by that low ticket price, I actually am really excited by that low ticket price, because I think that, you know, WordPress is free, and WordCamp should be as close to free as we can get it. Sponsors are the people who make up the balance and allow us to, you know, find a place to all sit down and have a great event that connects people and inspires them to do more with WordPress. So,
yeah, from my own perspective, I love the price point of WordCamps, because, you know, I go to other conferences, affiliate conferences, SEO conferences, marketing conferences, and every one of those tickets is $1,000 a piece.
Right.
Plus you've got hotel and airfare and that kind of thing. So for me, I love WordCamps because it's almost like my travel is free. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind coming to San Francisco and dropping, you know, 5 days on hotel, because I know that the ticket price was so low, it sort of negates what my travel expenses would have been otherwise. So I applaud that model. It's great.
Thanks. Happy about it too.
And speaking of sponsors, there's a couple of maybe sponsorship levels. Some of them have sponsored, some companies have sponsored every WordCamp in the United States. Is that right?
We have some, so we have this program called the multi-event sponsorship program. Now we're calling it the community sponsorship program, whereby larger companies who just want to support all WordCamps can sponsor literally all WordCamps in the world or just in a certain region. For either all year or quarters or something like that. So we currently have, 8 different multi-event or community sponsors. The companies that currently sponsor every single WordCamp in the world are Bluehost, Jetpack, Automattic as Jetpack, and then WPML right now, which is On the Go Systems.
What's the price tag on that? Jeff and I might want to get in on that. Maybe WordPress is a worldwide sponsor.
Yeah.
They are currently, so for the top level, it's $10 per attendee per WordCamp. For the medium level, it is $5 per attendee. And then for the lowest level that we provide is $2.50 per attendee, and that's rounded up to the nearest 50. So we had a community team. We recruited a group of both WordCamp organizers and some longtime sponsors of WordCamps that worked with me collaboratively, and we all worked together a couple years back to develop this program. We rolled it out in 2013, and then we did a second version in 2014 at the Community Summit in October. Hopefully we will build the new version, which will then fold in meetups as well, so that community sponsors can support all WordPress community organizing and events. It's been incredibly beneficial to WordCamps. Of anything that I have done for WordCamps, that might be the thing that is most exciting, or if I've overseen any iteration on the WordCamp program, that might be the most exciting one, because basically I'm able to approve a WordCamp budget and give WordCamps a nest egg of like, okay, so you'll need this much to fundraise. Community sponsors will give you this much, so you actually only need to raise this much. And it really releases a lot of the fundraising work off of WordCamps, and that makes me excited, because then my hope is that they will take all those hours that they were spending trying to drum up money and focus on developing great speakers, finding speakers, pulling them out of the woodwork, and just bringing up their local speakers and helping them make great presentations and making really great events.
Now, going back towards sort of protections of WordCamps and sort of creating this baseline of expectations for WordCamps, there's these things called the WordCamp guidelines. And I've said this in comments and I've written articles about this. I don't think my thought is, my perspective is that the WordCamp guidelines probably can't be perfect for WordCamps across the globe because there's too many variables in place, but I think they could be close. I'm just wondering, what do you think, and what, explain the purpose of what these WordCamp guidelines are for.
Well, WordCamp is the official event for the open source WordPress project, right? So when you are organizing a WordCamp, or if you are speaking at a WordCamp, or, you know, volunteering at a WordCamp, you are essentially an arm of WordPress, right? You're representing WordPress to your local community. And so because, you know, back before we had guidelines, there was so much variation in what people would get when they went to a WordCamp, and then, you know, both in like the quality of the event, the quality of the speakers, the stuff that people would tell people might not have been accurate or right. People, you know, someone organized a WordCamp once that basically they just got a whole bunch of sponsorships and then disappeared with the money. Ask around. People that you know, longtime members of the community, got shafted on that one. When people, just normal human beings, bloggers, people who use WordPress, would go to these WordCamps and walk out thinking, well, WordPress is terrible because they cheated me, or they, you know, told me to do something, or they said really sexist stuff, or they did, put terrible food out or whatever, you know? I mean, they treated me wrong. They sold my information to a marketing company, something like that, you know?
I also want to say that prior to the WordCamp, the WordMark WordCamp being trademarked, I wrote about this, there was an event. You know, WordCamps were really starting to become something of their own. They were starting to gain popularity. And somebody was going to do this event called Virtual WordCamp, where they were going to charge $80 or $90 to attend a virtual WordCamp, which means there was no travel, no anything. You just sat at your computer and watched the live stream, $90. And I'm pretty sure Matt was pretty upset about that. And I think he probably already had it planned, but that was probably the icing on the cake on why it needed to be trademarked, protected, and why these guidelines had to be put into place so people do not take advantage of the name.
Right, and really give WordPress a bad name in the community, right? So so I think that while, I mean, you guys know, I mean, we're open source people, right? We hate being told what to do. We hate it. That's why we like open source. Nobody likes being told what to do.
That's why instead of contributing to this plugin, I'll just create another one and I'll add it to the 600 that are already there.
Exactly. I mean, people like to solve their own problems. People like to do what they want. We're all Cartman, right? So, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I hate being told what to do. Ask anyone. Ask my husband. Ask my boss, you know? But, you know, in the end, you know, the value of having WordCamp be this experience where you go to a WordCamp and you know that, you know, your information is safe, the price will be reliable, the organizers have at least been vetted by somebody, right? And your money's not going to disappear and things will be, you know, safe and reliable and, you know, make people walk out hopefully thinking WordPress is amazing, I want to do more, is pretty important to the growth of WordPress. So I agree. I mean, one size fits all is a pretty good way to have everybody look bad in their clothes. But at the same time, if we're going to hold one group of people to a standard, I would hope we hold everybody to the same standard, right? So, I mean, every community gets their little cliques, and their little cool people get to do what they want, and then if you're a nobody, you don't get to do what you want, and all that stuff, and, you know, at the very least, I hope that by holding everyone to the same list of expectations and the same standards, that we equalize that phenomenon and make it so, you know, you, just because you're, you know everybody doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want. Everyone's held to the same standard. And, you know, if anything is going to make following rules when you hate following rules suck less, hopefully that is the thing, right? It's at least, you know, it's a set of expectations that we hope are at least basic enough that everybody can find a way to do the event that they want to do and benefit the WordPress community while still making a great experience for attendees. And I think the pain or the benefit outweighs the pain.
And as an attendee, I can tell you that I also like those standards being put in play because I know that every time I'm going to go to a WordCamp, I'm going to have that experience because of the threshold of rules that are put in place. And so I know that there's going to be ample, you know, swag, shirts, whatever. I know they're not going to run out of what I wanted.
Hopefully you'll know that the speakers that are, you know, presenting information to you will be giving you correct information.
Right.
They won't be telling you to sell yourself out and lose the freedoms that the GPL gives you. They will be giving you correct information, you know.
Yeah, it's a clean conference. That's what I like to say.
I hope so, too. And that's why we encourage so many people not to make it really commercial, is because attendees don't like that. I mean, it's, you know, attendees like to go and get the content and not be, you know, farmed for their marketing value, you know, and all that stuff. So, I agree that every so often it is painful to ask everyone to meet the same set of expectations. And hopefully every year or so, we will all sit down as a community and take a look at the things that cause the most pain and figure out a way to iterate. You know, I mean, WordPress is an iterative community. We try something for a while. If it doesn't work, we change it. And so my hope is that people will say, you know, tell us honestly, you know, hell, you know what, this was terrible. I hated doing this and I don't want to do it anymore. And we can work together and figure out a way that everyone can, you know, get what they need. But
now the guidelines provide, you know, their guidelines, sort of this foundation of expectations for what everyone can expect when they go to a WordCamp. But there's this mentality amongst some folks in the WordPress community, including WordCamp organizers, that because of these guidelines, that the WordCamps have become cookie-cutter type of events where they're sort of all the same and it's very difficult to differentiate themselves between the next WordCamp because of the guidelines. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that it is pretty easy to be the most WordCamp Milwaukee in the entire world and the most New York-y WordCamp New York in the entire world if you focus on that. So, I mean, what makes WordCamps unique, hopefully, is less their organizers and more their communities. And I think that if WordCamp organizers want to make a really different, fantastically unusual, unique event, then the first place to start is have speakers that no one's ever heard of, that are from your local community, that rock. Emphasize and celebrate what makes your community fantastic. And just really have the greatest ways for people to connect amongst themselves in the WordPress community and then have the most inspirational talks available so that people walk out of WordCamp thinking, I want to do more with WordPress and I know I can. And that will make your event unique, lauded, praised, and people will be begging to come back. If you have 11 of the same speakers as 20 other WordCamps this year, your event's not going to look that different.
It's just going to be same thing, different place.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, there's lots of ways, and it's tricky, right? Because people go to a WordCamp and they're like, oh, that's a great idea. We should do that at home. And I'm like, well, you could, or you could come up with your own idea at home and try something. Ask your community, like, what do they want? What do they think would be the best kind of event in the world? You know, don't go out and, like, tell people what they want. Find out what they want and give it to them. That's what community organizing really is. And so, you know.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, a WordCamp would just be, my guess is, because of the guidelines of what WordCamps are all about, everything about it would just be local. You wouldn't have people flying in to speak at events. Maybe a few, maybe automatic employees or speakers, but probably 95% or 80%, some very high number, would all be local speakers, local attendees. And that's really at the heart, I think, of what WordCamps are all about, local.
You know, we've got enough automaticians now, we hardly even need to fly them to you.
This is true. They're within driving distance.
We're so big, they could probably commute. And yeah, I mean, I just think that if you're trying to do a unique event and you don't start first with extreme local, then, you know, I'm always kind of taken at aback. And I mean, listen, WordPress is like 23% of the web and growing, right? We need, if we're going to, you know, own it all, we got to have more people talking in the conversation. We cannot keep growing if we're only listening to the same 20 or 30 voices. We have got to listen to more people who are doing more interesting things, who are having more pain points, or who are doing different stuff with WordPress than we ever thought was possible. We've got to let them in. And so if you're not listening to your community, if you're not really deeply plugged in to the amazing stuff people are doing with WordPress in your hometown, then, you know, part of me says, well, I mean, you can have the best lunch ever, you can have the best party ever, but how am I ever going to hear from that person if you don't raise them up, you know?
And so what are some of those, you know, for those that are listeners out there that may want to get involved as far as being a presenter and speaker at a WordCamp event, how do they get started? What kinds of things should they plot out? What kind of presentations and things apply to somebody that is, you know, just trying to get their feet wet in speaking and presenting?
So first of all, join your local WordPress meetup, attend, and if you have something, if you want to start speaking there. Maybe you could help out the local meetup organizer by saying, hey, what if we have lightning talks 1 month, and then, like, everybody signs up to give a 5-minute talk, and maybe cut your teeth with that, just like a 5-minute talk, you know, short, sweet, can't get too rambly, easy to practice, you know, all that stuff. Even if you're terrible, people only have to listen to you for 5 minutes, and then you can iterate on it. So I would definitely start there. And as far as, like, finding out if you want to be a speaker, first of all, think about, like, what do you have to share with the WordPress community? What I encourage people always to do, don't teach me a lesson, tell me a story. Everybody's story is incredibly powerful from the perspective of, like, listening to people who use WordPress or who build WordPress, right? Even if you're telling me the story of, like, how you figured out how to change the background color of the theme that you're using, and everybody else in the whole room already knows how to do that, if you tell me how, like, the process that you went through to figure that out, and then you figured it out, first of all, it tells me how difficult this can be for people. It tells me where people get hung up. It tells me how to make it better for other people. And then, honestly, there may be people who don't know how to do that, and then you've just taught them how to do it by telling your own story. Now, that's a very simplistic example, but, you know, if you want to give a unique presentation, tell me about your personal experience with WordPress, or go out and interview other people and tell me about their personal experience with WordPress. Tell me a story.
And just, I don't know if you have any stats on this, but I like to get maybe your educated guess in this. What, how important, how integral is meetups, WordPress meetups, to WordCamps? I mean, based on everything I've seen and everything I've read and everyone I've talked to, it seems like the overreaching majority of WordCamps all have an origin of a local meetup.
Yes, we require WordCamp organizers to have an active local meetup.
Oh, okay. Well, so now that makes sense. Oh, there's a connection there.
There's a connection.
No, it's just a coincidence.
It is not. That is engineered, my friend. That is on purpose.
And, well, can you explain the connection of that? Is there any connection straight to meetup as far as that goes? Or is it just because that's where the audience is, so to speak?
So there's a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a little arrogant to say that you know what your community needs to hear if you don't actually have an established community. First of all, starting that community is pretty important, so that you have the people that you can listen to. Then also, it's organizing a WordCamp is a lot of dang work, and you need other people to help you. Otherwise, you will walk away from organizing WordCamp thinking, I never want to do that again.
Right.
So you need speakers. You need volunteers. You need other organizers. You need sponsors. If you don't have a group of WordPress fans in your community that are already identified that can sponsor, speak at, and attend your event, you can be the best organizer in the world, but it simply will not be successful. So we ask everybody to have an existing face-to-face meetup first. And then once that's established, even if it's only established for like 2 or 3 months, then start organizing your WordCamp. And that's been working pretty well so far.
And I think it's important to reference that if you currently have a WordPress meetup in your area and you are paying the dues for that, and I've recently... It, unbeknownst to me, I recently looked at the dues on Meetup, and if you're not charging for people to attend your WordPress meetups, it can get expensive over the course of a year. Mm-hmm. The WordPress Foundation does have a program in place that if you apply to and you meet the criteria, they will pay your membership dues. Is this correct?
That is correct, yes. You can find the application over at make.wordpress.org/community, then I think it's /meetups, and we have 5 good faith rules, including things like don't be a jerk, that we ask everyone who's organizing a chapter account, so an official meetup, just like an official WordCamp, everyone who's organizing an official meetup, we ask you to agree to those, if you already have a meetup organized and you just want to put it on the WordPress chapter account, we can do that, or if you haven't organized a meetup yet, then you can organize a meetup with WordPress as the organizer, and then you all of the community people are co-organizers.
So. Awesome. Well, I have 2 quick questions for you,
sure.
But
mm-hmm.
you may not give me quick answers.
I might. I'd like to talk.
The first is, not too long ago, or maybe it was a few months ago, time flies when you're having fun with WordPress, WordCamp Central put together, launched a couple of different forums so that organizers and attendees can all get together in one place and finally have an easy way to collaborate and share ideas. How has that process gone?
Okay. It has not made the splash that I kind of hoped it would. I don't know if people are already connected or if people just don't have time to play on another set of forums or what, but people do not maybe it's the problem that I don't have like any dedicated forum volunteers to like sit and answer stuff on purpose. I frequently am doing so many other things that I have a hard time cycling back there on a reliable basis, but they just haven't been as lively as I thought they would be. It could be the fact that we, you know, we answer a lot of questions on plan.wordcamp.org anyway, but yeah, those haven't set the world on fire like I thought they would.
Okay, and I would kick myself if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity to ask you this this question. What are your we have Prestige Conference, we have Pressnomics, we have a few other events in the works that are WordPress specific, but they're not essentially using the WordCamp branding or taking advantage of the foundation. What are your thoughts on WordPress conferences that are starting to emerge but without using the WordCamp branding?
Well, so, like I said, WordPress has hit like 23% of the web, right? So the community is growing and growing and growing and growing. And, you know, the fact is, as much as I wish it were, not all of that community is centered around the open source project of WordPress itself, right? And also the thing about setting expectations for what a WordCamp is that you almost de facto start making a list of things that WordCamp isn't. You know, not all of those things are bad. They're just not things that we want to do as part of the official event arm of the WordPress open source project. And so, yeah, I mean, the market is there. There's a lot of room. And I, you know, I think there's a lot of space for people to do a lot of different stuff with WordPress conferences that are not WordCamps. And frankly, if you don't want to organize a WordCamp, I don't want you to try to organize a WordCamp because it's hard on you, it's hard on me, it's hard on your attendees, you know? I mean, it's just hard for everybody. So, you know, if somebody has a really well-defined vision of an event that just isn't, you know, doesn't, what for whatever reason, you know, fit into that set of expectations, I think, you know, it's, we are all entrepreneurs. We iterate. You know, there's a lot of room for people to do different stuff with WordPress events, and I say, you know, more power to them. Event organizing is really hard, so, you know, getting it right is challenging, and if people can get it right and enrich the WordPress community by doing that, I think that's fantastic. My hope always is that we will both, you know, respect the trademark and embrace the license of WordPress so that we don't encourage users to give away their freedoms by you know, engaging with plugins or themes that aren't 100% GPL. But, I mean, other than that, I think, you know, it's a brave new world out there. Go for it.
And I'm sort of relieved to hear you say that, you know, from someone in your position at WordCamp Central to on other events, WordPress events that are not using a WordCamp branding. I mean, I think there's room for all of them. And
yeah,
you know, WordCamp has guidelines. They have expectations. And if you want to do an event that doesn't align with those values or doesn't allow you the freedom to do what it is you're looking to accomplish with your event, then go ahead and do your event. I mean, no harm, no foul. I mean, just go ahead and do it and let's see what happens. And, you know, Pressnomics has been very successful. We're going to see a business-focused WordCamp in Prestige Conference, the first of its kind. And I personally, I think we're going to start to see more and more of these subject-focused WordPress conferences spring up because for a lot of people, just going to a WordCamp and having these multi-tracks and multi-sessions is maybe not working out for them. I think a lot more people are going to just want to go to an event catered to one specific area, and there's going to be all these different sort of WordPress smarty pants, you know, sharing their knowledge and everything at this one event. But I think it's very encouraging to see that WordCamp is all for it. Hey, the more the merrier. I mean, it'd be awesome if they all respected the GPL, the license, and shared all those values that the WordCamp Central follows and the WordPress Foundation. But I'm very glad to hear that response because I think anything other than that, I don't know. Cue the pitchforks.
Well, to complement that, I would also like to mention that, you know, we have been, ever since the beginning of this year, encouraging experienced and new WordCamp organizers to iterate on the WordCamp, you know, model itself, you know. I mean, we've had, no, that's not even iterating, we've had WordCamp Real Estate, we've had WordCamp Higher Ed, we've had single subject WordCamps, we always have a couple of WordCamp developers every year. And there's lots of other things that we could do with the WordCamp brand that still fit within the set of expectations that we have that isn't every single other WordCamp out there. So, I mean, I've talked to a number of people this year about, like, playing with the concept and doing something a little different to keep it fresh for our experienced organizers, too, that get sick of doing the same thing year after year. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, for whatever reason, you know, not all, very few of those plans have shaken out. But I look forward to maybe seeing what people come up with in the new year as far as, you know, yeah, let's do a single subject WordCamp. Let's do a WordCamp that, you know, with some variation and try to see what else works within the model but still staying in those expectations of, you know, open to everybody and, you know, transparent and embracing the license and the trademark and try it out. So we're open to a lot of new things.
One of the things that I really appreciated, at least for the last couple of years, was being able to stream, mm-hmm. you know, the San Francisco event at least. Are there plans in the future to make that more of an adoption of that kind of streaming with other WordCamps around the world as well?
Did you hack into my email this week? So we just invested in two new camera kits for WordCamps that are specifically made for live stream. So cameras and broadcaster boxes and everything, we set up an account with livestream.com, and we're going to try with two events this fall, WordCamp Tampa and WordCamp Ventura, are going to stream and hopefully have a really high quality stream that is really beneficial for everyone who takes part in that. Yes, I would really like to do that. There's a number of ways that a good live stream can be really powerful for people. For one thing, you can still get the content on the day of, but you don't have to travel. But then also, it can even make it a little easier for attendees who maybe don't want the connection, but they still want the inspire part of the event. Or even, you know, if you just have tried your best and you cannot find a venue that's more than 200 people, but you know that more locals than 200 will want to come, you can provide a stream. I mean, I think we have done not a great job of maximizing the technology available to us at WordCamp. And so I'm really excited to see what those experiments yield this fall. Hopefully we'll see a lot more live streams next year.
Yeah, I would, you know, to me, are you kidding? Would I love to see WordCamp Tokyo live in a stream and see what's going on there?
Yeah.
I'd love it. Even if I don't understand it, I'd still love it.
That would be pretty cool.
I think now we learned a lot more about Marcus today.
and in that same vein, how awesome of a compliment has WordPress.tv been to WordCamps?
Love that. Yeah. Providing that free content so that you don't even have to buy the $20 ticket. Like, the $20 ticket is not expensive, but ideally, like, every single session at every single $20 a day conference is for free on WordPress TV within a couple months, knock wood. Huge props to the WordPress TV moderator squad and, you know, all those people volunteering to help us get content faster on WordPress TV and of a higher quality. I mean, they've been doing a kick butt job, and I'm so grateful to their work every day. I love the fact that we're getting all this content for free on WordPress TV. It's pretty exciting.
And my last question here, mm-hmm. some of the WordCamps have, especially one down in Miami recently with David Bissett, mm-hmm. he had WordCamp Miami, but the day before he had BuddyCamp Miami. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is if somebody is going to do a WordCamp and they're really fascinated with the BBs, whether it's BB Press mm-hmm. or Buddy Press, and they have the interest based on mm-hmm. their WordCamps and surveys, is the BuddyCamp stuff covered by sponsorship money or anything else that the WordPress Foundation can help with, or is that a separate outside of the WordCamp?
No, we're currently running all that stuff, we're not running anything. We are facilitating buddy camps being organized and providing them the same benefits of the WordCamp program. part of the WordPress Foundation's mission is to both support education around WordPress, but also around other open source projects. And so Buddy Press definitely falls within that. So would BB Press. If somebody wanted to organize a conference around BB Press, that would be super interesting. I would love to see that tried out.
So would I.
And yeah, I mean, I think that could be great for BB Press. I mean, the thing about in-person events is they build community like nobody's business. I mean, they are like the human growth hormone of community, right? They just, you thought you had a community online, and then you get everyone together, and it just blows up. And so, yeah, I would love to see more events centered around, you know, Buddy Press and BB Press if there's the interest to help those contributor communities grow too.
Well, Angie, I want to personally thank you very much for spending this time with us. This has been awesome. I love all the information you've delivered here on the show. And I know sometimes it can get a little hot under the collar in your position with the guidelines and certain events and things happening of that nature. But overall, I very much appreciate the work you're doing, Jen Milo is doing, all of the volunteers at WordCamp Central, the support of the WordPress Foundation. I mean, at the end of the day, I think everything that everybody is doing in that foundation is really helping to educate people at a very, very affordable price on things of WordPress and providing an opportunity for a lot of people. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I know that in the future, currently and in the future, I think inclusion and diversity, I think, are some of the hot topics of not only for getting a diverse speaker set, but even diverse attendance at various WordCamps. I know that's probably going to be one of the sticking points for events in the future. But just great job you're doing, and just awesome. I'm looking forward to WordCamp San Francisco, too.
Me too. I think it's going to be a great time. And thank you so much, Jeff. That's really kind of you to say. And I just, you know, I think every so often we, you know, not everybody agrees, but I think, you know, in the end, what we're all doing this, I hope, I'm doing this because I love WordPress and I love open source. And I want the WordPress community to be the most welcoming, most enthusiastic and most open source community on the planet, and I think that WordCamps go, you know, take us there. So,
any closing comments, Marcus, for Andrea before we let her go to her awesome world there in Portland?
Yeah, Andrea, I just want to share a story. I went to one particular WordCamp 2 years ago and met a gentleman that was just asking me baseline questions about different plugins and themes, and it was apparent that he was just getting started. And then 1 year later, he's presenting.
Oh, my gosh. So I love those stories.
So that is a testament to your work and, you know, putting it all together and the work on behalf of the organizers and things, is that in 1 year's time, someone can come just looking for information, and then the next year they're presenting it. So I think that's a great story.
That is my favorite kind of story. I love the fact that people can go so far so fast with WordPress and that people feel so welcome, I hope, in our community. And they're like, yes, I can do things. I am inspired. There's room for me. And that people make their business, feed their children with information that they get at WordCamp. And that's, I mean, all of our organizers all over the world are such great people for spending their, I mean, they could be sitting around watching Grey's Anatomy, but instead they're working on, you know, schedules and stuff like that. So
they're sitting in the living room working while watching Grey's Anatomy because WordPress affords them that opportunity.
But, I mean, I cannot, all I can say is I could never do the job that all of our organizers do together. I mean, all of anything that the WordCamp program accomplishes is really completely based on the willingness of all of these community volunteers to spend their extra time and their free time helping other people learn more about WordPress. And that's pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to talk to some of these organizers and you ask them, so what was it like to organize this event? Well, it was great, and then UPS or FedEx showed up, and my whole house turned into a bunch of cardboard. But yeah. I had all these volunteers here. We played music, ate nachos, and we unwrapped everything. We organized all the swag bags, and, you know, you hear those stories all the time. It's really cool. thanks to those organizers. So, Andrew, before we let you go, give us a couple URLs for WordCamp information and how we can keep tabs on you.
Sure. So hopefully all of the news that's fit to print is at WordCamp Central about WordCamps. So that's central.wordcamp.org. If you are interested in doing more or helping out with WordPress community organizing, please subscribe the blog at make.wordpress.org/community. That's where all of the people who contribute to the WordPress open source project on the community side have our conversations. And then finally, if you're interested in finding out what it takes to be a WordCamp organizer, head on over to plan.wordcamp.org. That's where all of the information that we've collected from all of the WordCamp organizers around the world is located, and that's where you can apply to organize a WordCamp in your hometown.
Fantastic. And we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I just now remembered. But I can't wait to see, if it becomes a reality, what happens with the WordCamp app. I think that would be pretty cool in terms of organizing information and the one of my favorite features, upcoming events. Mm-hmm. So that would be really cool. Do you have any knowledge whatsoever on the app or the progress of it?
That, golly, we have had a couple of different people toying around with different ideas. We don't have a canonical, like, official app at the moment. We had a GSUC project proposal, and it hasn't finally come to fruition, but I hope in maybe 2015 we'll get that finally rolled out. I think that would be a great benefit to WordCamps, and hell, maybe, you know, at the WordPress Community Summit some people will step up and say, no, we want to do this for real, and contribute a group around that, and we'll just bang it out.
Oh, man, that would be great at a WordCamp app. Andrew, thanks a lot for all your time and everything you do. And believe it or not, all we did was scratch the surface on this whole WordCamp thing. So we're going to have you back on sooner rather than later.
Well, twist my arm. You guys are both lovely, and I've really enjoyed spending time with you. As anyone will tell you, I love to talk about WordCamp. So, yeah, please, I'd like to talk some more.
I guarantee you will be on the show sooner than later.
Yeah, that's when Jeff and I are going to pitch our live announce through the stream. Jeff and I are the hosts. All right, let's go to Tokyo, where we can talk about Buddy Press from Progress.
Yeah,
we can dream, right?
Anything's possible with WordPress.
All right, have a great rest of the evening there, Andrea.
All right, have a good night, you guys. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. So that was Andrea Middleton, a dot organizer for Automattic, and helps manage WordCamp Central. Does a lot of great work for WordCamp Central, helping out a lot of WordPress, WordCamp first-time organizers and veteran organizers, and just a really great person. I've had a chance to meet her a few times in person, and just a great person to be around and talk with. Very, very much open to feedback, which is great in her position. So very cool to have her on the show. And Marcus, before we get into your plug-in picks of the week, just sort of your thoughts on that interview.
I learned a lot about the backbone and the back end of WordCamp and what I thought was more of a editorial decision-making process is more of a legal protection process as far as to the organizers, the attendees, all of that. And, you know, there's insurance policies and things like that that even have to be put into place, food, certain expectations and dietary guidelines. All of that stuff has to be thought of when really the organizer just wants to talk WordPress, right? So all of that is put in play just for protection's sake of both the organizer and the attendee. And that's what I learned, and hopefully the listeners out there absorb some of that as well.
Yeah, the whole purpose of WordCamp Central, the foundation, is to take all of the pain points away, all of the friction that's involved with organizing an event, which is very hard in and of itself, you know, with the financial obligations and the sponsoring and things of that nature, and to just try and offset that so that the organizers can concentrate on just putting on a great event with local speakers and just make it a great time and a great atmosphere for those to learn WordPress. And that's really what the goal is, and I think so far they've done a really great job doing that.
Absolutely.
So with that said, Marcus, why don't you close us out with your plug-in picks of the week?
Oh, we've got some great ones. This first one is called Admin Branding, and it seems like I've been asking for this kind of thing to come out for years and years, but it's finally here. This plugin lets you completely customize everything within the dashboard. I'm talking the way that the menus are, so there's no little stray plug-in things on the side that take over your left sidebar in your admin. You can shove those into a folder. You can change the color, all the logos, everything. So it works for you just not only as from a personal perspective of making your WordPress look the way you want it from the back end, but maybe you've got clients or things like that that you want to put your own branding in. So Admin Branding is that plugin. Really good one.
Let's see. It allows you to completely customize the logo look and feel of the WordPress admin. So that does that mean you can control what things are displayed and what things are hidden?
Yes, everything.
Because,
yep.
Because there's a plugin out there called Adminimize, but it needs a rewrite. It needs it's difficult to use. So hopefully this thing is I might give this thing a try and see. You can compare it between the two. Hopefully it's a lot easier to use. It has a better user interface.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so we talk about GMO, genetically modified stuff, where they cross-pollinate one thing to the other, and it's usually something that comes out really bad. Well, that's what reminds me of this particular plugin. It's called Widget Menuizer. Jeff, you want to take a guess at what that is?
Let's see.
Widget Menuizer. No?
Let's see. It makes it possible to embed sidebars with your site's menus.
Oh, stop reading my descriptions. Yes, it does. So anything that you have in a widget area, you can actually stuff that little block into a menu. So you go into the menu editor that you typically would do and change the order of things like that. And instead, where you would typically put post or page or link, there's then this thing called embed. And you click that and you choose which widget you want. And there it is right in the menu, not even in a sidebar.
Wow.
Yeah. I even put video in it, and it worked.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So that's going to change design around a little bit, because now we've got this kind of mutant thing in our menus that we can put more content in. So that's one to watch. And then finally, there have been a lot of themes that have been coming out that have to do with the learning management system, where people set up online courses and quizzes and things like that. It's a model after Udemy, UDEMY.com. It's kind of a social learning environment. I've always seen it tied in with themes, and I've been working with one particular project where I want to get involved in training, but it's always the limitation of the theme that gets me. But now WPMU just came out with something called CoursePress. Now, there's a light version and a pro version, and the pro version, I think, is only $19, so it's not a huge expense. But it does everything that I've seen in these other upper echelon themes, these premium themes, and a little bit more. So, Jeff, I've been spending close to 3 months on this other project, and now I have to abandon it because this plugin does a heck of a lot more and lets me retain my own theme, which means I can run it in Genesis or any other theme set framework that I want. So, CoursePress.
Isn't that the life of WordPress? Oh, look, this is so great. And then, this group of people creates a plugin. It does everything I need it to. So 3 months of worth of work. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. At least I got the content done.
Well, at least it only cost you $19.
Yeah, that's right. So very cool. Very cool thing, CoursePress. It hit me kind of unexpectedly. I didn't know about it. And then I was really bummed out when I read the description and saw the video. I'm like, oh, shot to the gut right there. But I've tried it, and it's great.
Awesome. So WordCamp Europe will be taking place this weekend. WP Tavern's own Sarah Gooding will be there in person, not virtual. And she will be she'll be on the ground covering all the events and possibly getting stories from attendees there for coverage on WPTavern.com. So if you see her, be sure to say hi, give her a friendly welcome. And next weekend, next Saturday, is October 4th, and that's a big day in WordCamp land. There's WordCamp Tampa, WordCamp Ann Arbor. There is the Prestige Conference, and there might be one or two other events on that weekend. It's going to be a very busy weekend for WordCamps, but I will be at WordCamp Ann Arbor, Michigan next Saturday on October 4th, so looking forward to meeting everybody up there. And I don't know about you, Marcus, but I like these smaller WordCamps where there's only about 100 to 200 people, because it's a little more intimate. It's not so crazy. It gives you more opportunity to really get to know the people that are there. You know, when I go to some of these larger events, it's just too large for me. You know, over 500 attendees, 300 to 500 attendees or over, and I just don't find myself meeting a lot of new people. I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't gel with me.
Yeah, you can definitely meet a lot, a lot bigger of a segment. You know, I when I went to WordCamp Orange County, I bet I met 50% of the people there. You know, and that helped. That helped my social profiles. That helped the audiences of the shows that I do to grow, including this one. So, it's great for that intimacy. I've not yet been to the San Francisco one, so I'm looking forward to that one in just a month here.
And I think what part of the issue is with me is there's a lot of people that maybe go to these larger events, the more, I guess you can call them, more popular WordCamps, and I want to meet those people because I haven't seen them for a while and catch up with them. And in the midst of all that, I pretty much missed the opportunity to meet all these other new people I've never met before. So that probably lays into that as well.
Yeah, next time we get Andrea on the show, maybe we do like WordCamp speed meeting, like speed dating.
I don't know.
We've run it all through Buddy Press.
Worth a shot, I guess. as far as announcements go, next week we're going to have on someone, one of my favorite WordPress plugin authors of all time, Lester Gamers Chan, who will be joining us live from Singapore. And we're just going to talk about his take on WordPress, what the WordPress scene is like in Singapore. When Matt Mulloway recently went on a sort of South Asia Pacific tour of different cities, he stopped at Singapore and had a sort of like a state of the word, but only for those who were there in attendance. And he was there and had a chance to listen to what Matt had to say. So we'll ask him about that. And I just can't wait to have him on because he's been one of my favorite plugin authors for a long time, and just really looking forward to that. And it's going to be next Wednesday.
I gotta go find some Singapore beer. Let's do it.
Oh boy! So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0. And Marcus, how about yourself?
You can find me at MarcusCouch.com and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Awesome. So be sure to check out the show notes. We'll have links to everything you need to know about organizing WordCamps and references for you. And until next Wednesday, have a great and enjoyable rest of the week, everybody.